Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Not only this morning, but some things that the Lord has been dealing with me about in Isaiah 40 is the fact that we don't often wait well on the Lord. We wait in line at the bank and at the grocery store, and I think we learn, for the most part, to wait impatiently. While we're waiting, we're tapping our foot. Any of you doodle? Yeah, several of you. I know my wife, while she's sitting and waiting for something, if there's a pen and pad around, she'll just doodle all over it. Not dribble all over it, just doodle all over it. For the most part, we do not wait well. And for the most part, God does. Now, that creates a real conflict sometimes. Because when we ask, you know, we live in such an instant world. Things have been invented that are supposed to be for our benefit. And too many times they've made it so easy on us that we don't have to wait anymore. The microwave oven is a good example of that. We pop it in, and 2 or 3 minutes later, whatever time it is, we've got it. We've got instant oatmeal. I was looking at it the other day at Food for Less. We've got 1 minute oatmeal. We've got 5 minute oatmeal. I don't know what the difference is. We've got razor cut instant oatmeal, and then we've got just regular old Quaker's big chunk oatmeal that you have to boil a little bit longer. I think it's about a 15-minute oatmeal. I don't know what that's all about. But our waiting and our patience, we do not do well. If the service in the restaurant is a little lengthy, we look around and see maybe they're busy, maybe there's not. But if the waitress or the hostess to set us somewhere, or the host, if they're not real prompt, we begin to get a little fidgety. And we wonder what's going on. We wait a few minutes in line. While we're driving. And some say, welcome to L.A. And some say, welcome to San Francisco. Those are where the two-hour commutes are, by the way. We don't often do that in Paso, but if there is, we say, well, what's going on up there? Anybody know what I mean? It's like, well, what are they doing up there? Well, there's a sign there that says construction. But we don't want to wait. We want to get this thing on board and get it going. And you know, what's the holdup? Especially when you're summertime on a Harley-Davidson waiting for 10 minutes with that hot engine blowing up on your body. And you're saying, come on, get this thing going. What's the... And then, you know, well, you know, then you can always go up the white line and and find out what's going on. Sometime when somebody opens the door, you find out what's going on. Oh, hello. But I think you get the idea. We're not real fond of waiting around, and yet it seems there are so many times that we pray and wait. And we wait. And we wait. Kathy and I have been joining in agreement and praying for a precious, precious pastor's wife that's up in Oakland. And we saw her at the minister's meeting in fact, Steve and Carol were there. But she looked okay. She really wasn't, but she looked okay. But shortly after that, she began taking trips to the emergency room, and then they found that cancer was all in her liver, and it was through her whole body. And the doctors, day before yesterday, said she probably will not live through the night. But she did. And I can't tell you, can't even begin to tell you, how many thousands of people are praying for Rhonda. But last night, I got a message from her husband, and he said that all of a sudden, she sat up in bed and asked for, she had been asleep, she was semi-comatose. All of a sudden, she sits up in the bed and asks for a glass of water. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to take for granted that that's a complete healing yet, but it could be. God, many times and not, because one or two or three or four or a dozen are praying, because a thousand are praying, that doesn't impress God and doesn't speed God up a bit. He loves to hear the prayers and the requests and the supplications of His people. So that's the reason we all pray and we agree together. However, sometime God's delay is the very plan of God for us. And that's what Pastor Steve was talking about this morning, the mystery of godly delay. And I want you to hear that, because I'd like for you to go on the website and really, really hear it. It will, that was a word from God that will speak to you. Moses was upon the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and the people got tired of waiting on Moses to come down. And when he did, he broke all 10 commandments at the same time. Because what God had written on the stone, he threw down, and they all broke. And now he goes back up on the mountain and has to chisel it out and write it himself. While he was up there, the people said, well, God's taken him. He'll never come back to us. And so they talked Aaron into building a golden calf. And they begin to worship that Beth the calf of Beth Avon. If you'll study it longer in Scripture, you'll find out that for the kings that followed the rise and fall of kings in that empire kept going back and worshiping the calf of Beth Avon. But the issue here was God wanted the people, and it was His plan for the people to wait. I don't want to wait. But you'll be refreshed if you do wait. Yeah, but I don't want to wait. I think our society has pressed us to want it our way for so long, there is such a tendency to put together our own agenda and try to do it our way so we won't have to wait. In other words, rather than waiting, let's just do it our way. I know I won't have to wait if I do it my way. Now, there's sudden destruction at the end of that, but, well, at least I didn't have to wait. Are you hearing me? There are so many times in Scripture that even the resurrection, Jesus told them what he was going to do. He told them not to disperse from Jerusalem. He told them that I'll die, I'll be crucified, I'll die, I'll be buried, but on the third day I'll rise again. But the disciples were just like we. They were scattered because they weren't real sure. And I want you to hear something and really get it in your mind this morning. One of the chief schemes and tactics of the devil is an attempt to get us to really believe that God is withholding something from us. Now get that down in your spirit. He did it in the garden with Eve, and he's doing it today. There are so many people that if really were posed with the question, sometimes God just he withholds good things from us. But what does the Word say? God will withhold no good thing from his children. The enemy doesn't want you to think that way. He wants you to think that the waiting is just God putting you off. And pretty soon he'll just work his way around you. And that is a dangerous belief. So now with that setting, let me go to, I hope you didn't lose it already, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Here we go. Do you not know? It's a question. Have you not heard? Question. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. In other words, cannot be fully and completely understood. Verse 29. He gives strength. Remember, David found strength in the Lord his God last week. He gives strength to the weary. That be us. And increases the power of the weak. Now, who does this? Who does this? The Lord does. Because he doesn't grow weary. He is not weak. He is where we get our strength from. Verse 30, even youths, even young people, grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, and the word there is the same as wait. In the Hebrew, it's a different tense, but it's exactly the same word. So it would do no violence to say, but those who wait in the Lord or on the Lord will renew whose strength? Their strength. Their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There's a song that's even been drawn from that passage. I was thinking about the eagles. We soar on wings like eagles. And I was thinking about how that was in context with waiting and our impatience to do that. Thinking about the eagle and mama eagle. See, eagles, the male and the female, mate for life. So mama eagle, while dad's out getting victuals and food to bring back to the young, all of a sudden, after this nice, comfy nest and the eggs have hatched, mama eagle one day, at a specific time that God has set, she goes nuts. She starts throwing feathers. She starts plucking up the nest. And the baby eaglets look over and says, "Mom has lost her mind." And they look at each other and they're waiting. They don't know what's going to happen next because mom's ripping that nest apart. And these are huge nests, sometimes as much as 3 and 4 feet in diameter. And mom built it, and now mom is tearing it apart. That's all these little eaglets have known. And then once she gets it pretty well torn to shreds, and there's this little bundle of 3 or 4 eaglets watching at her with big eyes saying, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen now?" And mom looks at one of them. And that little eaglet looks at the rest of them and says, "You think she's going to come after us?" And she does. She goes over to one of those little eaglets and she takes that big beak and she bops them out of the nest. And they start falling. And they build their nest so high, she has plenty of time. She soars down and gets alongside of them and flaps her wings. That's the only time that an eagle will ever flap their wings. They don't do that when they take off or when they land. They're such a beautiful creature, they just kind of soar here and there. But now she's flapping her wings, as to say to that baby eaglet, "What's this?" Well, the little eaglet just doesn't understand, and so mom swoops her down and catches that little eaglet on her pinions, which is like our clavicle, the area of her body between her wings. And she soars back up to the nest. And that little eaglet goes, "Oh, man, that was close. Mom's lost her mind, but at least she saved me." And then mom looks over at one of the other little eaglets. And she says, "Buddy, you're next," and bops him out of the nest. He goes tumbling down, and she repeats the same scenario. She finally, when they're just falling, well, she'll swoop down and catch them on her pinions and carry them back to the nest. And she does this until the little eaglet looks at her flapping and stops being so afraid that all this waiting time was actually a preparation time. And they go, "Wow, we've got these little things out here like mom does. I wonder if we can just stretch them out and if we can fly like she does." Duh! So finally one of them goes, "Whoop!" Spread those beautifully feathered wings out and just begins to soar like they have watched mom do so many times. There are times that God will put you in the waiting room and He will allow you to expend your strength and you will grow tired and grow weary. But I want you to know your God never gets tired or weary. And you can draw strength from Him. So, now the eaglets are out of the nest. And they're soaring with Mom. Now it's time to give Dad the attention. Something happens in God's timeline. And again, that's really what I'm saying. Waiting is God's timeline. Now, I'm really going to stretch this because I want you to see the application. You're sitting in the car and you're waiting for construction or you're just waiting. You have no idea why you're waiting for. Maybe that's a time that God wants to speak to you. God wants to commune with you. God wants to show you something, reveal something to you, give you some insight. There's a reason for every single thing that happens in our lives. And it's God doing a work in us. It's God providing for us. It's God preparing us today for what we're going to face tomorrow. It may be something that comes up on the radio that you needed to hear. It may be something that you see somebody that you know, you're reminded they need to be encouraged. I don't know. There's so many possible scenarios. But they're all a reason for God's waiting. What I'm telling you is we just don't wait just to be waiting. In fact, the Hebrew of the word wait means to weave yourself into God. If you're waiting upon the Lord, you are reaching in as He reaches in. You're reaching into Him. He's reaching into you. And something is happening. It's not a void. It's not just happenstance. God has planned every second of your day, church. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, as our text said. What David talks about in waiting upon the Lord is that God will direct our path. Lamentations said the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. We talk much about, and Tony Campolo is the one that preached the sermon, you may recall, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Speaking of the death and the resurrection of Christ. And Friday was a horrible day. It was a day of passion. It was a day of crucifixion. It was a day of pain. It was a day that He who knew no sin was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God. It was a time of preparing Christ for the finished work in our lives. It was important for the 3 days that He was in the grave because it identified, number one, with the only sign that the Scripture said would be given, and that is the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of God be 3 days in the belly of the earth. The prophets talked about this time of waiting. Then when He appeared on the third day, even to those that were walking on the way to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Him. And as He walked along the way, their hearts were stirred. And when He sat down, as they begged Him to come with them, as He sat down with them and broke the bread and the Eucharist, the Last Supper, once again with Him, their eyes were opened. And their waiting paid off. Most of us ask the question, why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Excuse me. I'm a good Christian. I serve the Lord. Why is this happening in my life? The fact is, maybe we should be asking, God, what do you want me to do in this situation while I'm waiting upon you? I'm going to pick on her. I mentioned her earlier, Chris Macy. You got the prayer request. She was waiting for surgery on her eyes. The doctors had said weeks and she'll go blind. That's not good news, and that's hard to wait, isn't it, Chris? And then there was a matter of finances. Who's going to pay these thousands of dollars? Chris didn't have it. And then there was the whole sense of the urgency of the moment before her eyesight was completely gone. And then the finances suddenly appeared. That's just like God. And shortly after that, there was a way to get to the hospital in San Francisco. And then shortly after that, the eye surgery was done. She came home. The next eye surgery was done. And God was taking care of her during this time of waiting. And I feel like sometime I spend half of my time pulling on God's hand, trying to get Him to hurry up and do this. Whatever He's going to do. Whatever I'm crying out to Him for. And then, believe it or not, there's times that I've got a hold of His jacket, feeling like, Lord, can you just slow up a minute? Let me catch up. Let me get my breath here. I'm getting weary. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now let's go back to Papa Eagle. There's a time biologically when Dad, he just starts feeling lethargic. He just feels apathetic. He's starting to slow down. Energy's starting to drain. And the eagle will just, that male eagle will stretch out on a rock in the sun and just absorb the vitality and the sunshine that renews his strength, that he feels a little better. And he continues to do that, and he feels a little better. But there come a time where stretching out on that rock just won't do it. And he finds a cave, and he begins to molt. His feathers begin to come out. So he begins to pluck them out. There's a growth that covers his beak, which makes it very difficult for him to eat. And his talons get overgrown. And it's hard for him to even walk. And so he spends most of the time in the cave, featherless, waiting to die. But God has put it in the heart of Mama Eagle to say, oh no, boy, not so fast. I don't have time to train another one. You're it, buddy. You straighten up and fly right. So she takes him food in there in the cave. And she puts it at the door of the cave. And he crawls over, and an interesting thing about eagles, not only their eyesight and all of that that I think most of you probably read about, the eagle in the history and study of eagles, you'll find this. When their beak begins to get overgrown, they will take on a rock before they eat and after they eat. It's a cleaning process. They're cleaning the crud off of their beak because it has a tendency to overgrow. It loses its sharpness by which they tear their food apart in. So Mama Eagle takes and she puts the food at the door of the cave where he has to come out, this featherless bird. And so he claws himself out and he knows he's going to have to clean his beak before he's able to eat. So he sharpens his beak and he just grinds it on the rocks so he can pick up what Mama has brought him, and he eats. Then she takes the food, instead of putting it at the door of the cave, she puts it up on a rock atop the cave. Well, he smells it. He knows it's there. So he crawls out of the cave, sharpens his beak again, and then claws his way, if you get a picture of this now, claws his way up the side of the cave to the top of the rock on the cave itself. And in that process, he begins to sharpen his claws. And as he begins to eat, the molting process is finished, and his feathers begin to grow out. Now, isn't that what the Scripture says? He renews. The eagle renews his strength. That's what we have to do. Now, well, there's so many applications on this. I'm just going to have to let the Holy Spirit do it for you. I don't have time. You've got to eat the Word of God. I'll give you that much. And sometimes you have to do spiritual warfare and claw your way to what God has provided for you. Over the weeks and the months, his feathers begin to grow back. His beak is sharpened up. His claws and talons are down now to where they're sharp. And that day is glorious when suddenly he leaps off the rock, stretches out a 6 to 8 foot wing spread, and soars around the mountain with his honey because he has renewed his strength. Now, church, let's tie it together. There's a reason God has us wait. There's a reason that God delays. It's a mystery to us. We don't understand it. But let's not doubt God when God has us in the waiting room. Hey, the worst thing, several years ago, Kathy Jean had appendicitis, and they took her to the emergency room, and they had her in there, and they were running some tests on her, and I had to wait in the waiting room. Listen, I told them I was a doctor. I showed them my badge. I spoke the language. I did everything I possibly could. And they still made me wait in the waiting room. And there was this elder brother that came in. And his wife, her kidneys were shutting down. I got to talk to him for 30 minutes. I got to pray with him. If I'd have been in there with Kathy, she was taken care of. God says, I've got everything taken care of. In fact, God healed her of the appendicitis, and she's never had anything like that again, ever. Had to be God, because the doctor said, we need to get you in surgery this afternoon. You've come too late to tell me we don't serve a healing God. Now, why does he delay then? Why do I go through this suffering?
I don't know, but we are to strengthen ourselves in the Lord because God is the one that has a purpose in it. We may never know the purpose. We may never understand it. But listen to me. If our faith is in the Lord and our strength is in Him, we don't have to understand it. We don't have to have a full grasp of it. Just enjoy what God is doing somehow. Get that in your spirit that we can enjoy what God is doing in our life, even in the waiting room. Had a flat tire. Kathy was driving. I had a migraine headache. I'd been speaking for a church in Bakersfield. And we were on our way home, got into Delano. And all of a sudden, the rear end of the car started just kind of out of control. Nothing that she handled it absolutely beautifully. Signaled, looked, pulled over to the side of the road. Suddenly, and while I was thinking, oh man, I've got a headache. I cannot change that tire. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll call AAA. How long do you usually have to wait on AAA? There's been times that, you know, it's not unusual to wait 2, 3, 4 hours for AAA. I got out of the car to take a look at the tire. I knew what it was. While I was standing there, a friend in a black and white pulled up in back of me. It was the Delano officer. I identified myself, and he said, you know, I will wait here, and I will call AAA, and we'll get AAA out here right now. He made the call to dispatch. Within 5 minutes, AAA was out there, changed my tire for me. All I did was sign on the dotted line, and he said, look, while you're driving around, we're looking for this bad guy. If you spot the van or something, here's my personal cell phone. You give me a call, da-da-da-da-da-da. We made friends. We've called each other since then. I don't know why these things happen. I don't know why the dishwasher goes out. I'm on borrowed time. Just stay with me for a second. Gary's waving me down. He's not really playing with me. Yeah, now he is. I had to ride to on my motorcycle. I had a state meeting. Had to go to Fresno. The bike is not real good on gas. I'm coming back. And I was, well, I'll get gas on the south side of Fresno. Well, I'm coming back, and I didn't have as much in the tank as I thought I did. And I thought there was a station of some kind, any kind, between Lemoore and Fresno. Let me tell you, there's not. First-hand experience, there's not. So I'm putting along, and I thought, well, you know, boy, this is looking pretty bad. The light had been on, you know, the idiot light. Says, you're an idiot if I come on, you know. So I'm riding, and I said, I'll slow down to about 60. That's very unusual for me. Number one, I can walk almost that fast. But on a Harley, they weren't made to go 60. And I thought, well, I'll use less gas. So I slowed down, and all of a sudden it goes. And it died. Well, I put it in a lower gear, and you gotta get a picture of this. I'm going down the road, shaking that bike back and forth so that something will pick up in the gas tank. Probably nothing but sand, but at least it'd pick up something.
It kicked back up and acted like it wanted to run, and just about 3,000 RPMs, it died again. So I don't know what people around me were thinking. This guy is nuts. I was desperate. I shook the bike, it picked up again, and this time when it died, it stopped running. I've got the clutch in, and I said, oh God, let there be a gas station. You know, I felt like, where's my genie? God, I'm going to be stuck out here. Well, you're stupid enough to run it this far out of gas. I mean, what can I say? So God and I were having this conversation, and while I was coasting, I looked up, and on the right was a Shell gas station. And literally, I coasted right in to the bay. God often... There was a guy, the attendant at the gas station, said, boy, you barely made it on that one, didn't you? I said, duh. Hey, when you're waiting, renew your strength, church. Sharpen your beak. Eat of the Word. Let the Word of God fill your feathers out. Let Him sharpen your talons once again. Don't feel like God is standing you up and it's a waste of time. It's the mystery of the delay. Let God delay you anytime He wants to. And you be patient and renew your strength. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's times, Lord, that we get tired and weary. We lose strength. We wonder, can any good thing come out of this ordeal? Lord, we're that way. That's part of our carnal nature. But Lord, as Your children, I pray that You will instill within us a desire and a faith and a knowledge and understanding to know that we know that we know that You never grow weary. And that we can make it not on ourselves, but by renewing ourselves in You, the God of our salvation. Thank You, Father. Instill Your Word into our hearts and let us understand. Bring it to our remembrance and speak to us as we go about the day and the week. Be blessed, be glorified, even in times of our waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If anybody needs prayer this morning as we close, if you want to come to the front up here, I'll have a prayer team. We'd just like to come alongside with you and lift any needs that you would have. With that, God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon. And don't forget, guys, to sign up for men's breakfast. With that, God bless you. See you guys next week.